It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, January 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. A report from a conservation group out of Denver is making waves, but it's tricky to know what exactly is going on. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
With 2014 over, a lot of the year's data is being compiled. You can find out how much salaries have gone up, 3%, or how many movie tickets were sold in the U.S., 1.28 billion. There's also some more sobering statistics. A report released by the Center for Western Priorities, a conservation group based out of Denver, tallied the number of oil spills in Colorado at 712 this past year alone. Greg Zimmerman is the policy director for the organization.
So this past year, we found that oil and gas operators in Colorado spilled 712 times over the course of the year. 11% of those spills resulted in water contamination. 203 of those spills occurred within 1,500 feet of a building, such as a school or a home.
It's hard to tell if the 700 spills is a big change from last year. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission changed the threshold for reporting late in 2013. It used to be that any spill over 5 barrels had to be reported, but now it's any spill over 1 barrel. There are 42 gallons in a barrel. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Requesting documents from Mesa County just got easier. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
This week, Mesa County launched its new online portal for record requests. Now, anyone seeking documents from the county can just send an email. Angela Barnes, the assistant county attorney, says the portal makes getting information easier because people don't have to go in person, mail, or fax a request.
You know, everyone is operating via email anymore, so it made sense that if constituent wanted a record or two, that they could email us the request, it could get processed, and we could email the request back to them.
This week, the Mesa County Commissioners also approved a new policy for how much the county can charge for a record request. It used to be that the cost of getting county records varied by department. Barnes says the commissioners were prompted by state lawmakers.
In 2014, the legislature changed the Open Records Act in Colorado to finally put a price on it.
The change allows municipalities to charge up to $30 an hour for a request. Barnes says in Mesa County, the first hour of research for a record is free, and after that, the county will charge $30 an hour for labor.
With the whole first hour being free, the vast majority of all requests from constituents are going to be free.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Governor John Hickenlooper delivers his fifth State of the State address this morning at 11 a.m. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The speech is a chance for the governor to explain to lawmakers what he'd like to accomplish with the legislature for the year ahead. Colorado State University political science professor John Strayer says Hickenlooper could decide to take a bold stand.
He can't run again. He's term limited now. The governor knows as well as anybody the problems that we face. A governor now in his second term has got a golden opportunity to communicate clearly to the public, or at least pose the question to the public, what do you want for your future?
Strayer is referring to the fiscal constraints the state faces under mandated constitutional spending increases and the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or TABOR, revenue caps. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And finally, hemp is grown throughout the world for its oil and fiber, which is shown up in everything from beauty products to rope. Its chemical compounds might also hold the key to medical treatments for Parkinson's and epilepsy. But scientists say they need more research to unlock hemp's benefits. As KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, conflicting laws make it tough to get started.
Nolan Kane stands among rows of tomato plants at the University of Colorado Boulder.
So we're at one of the greenhouses on campus. This is Vermeley Hall.
Kane is an evolutionary biologist specializing in plants. He wants to grow cannabis, specifically industrial hemp, but it's not in the ground yet.
I am told that it is not the first cannabis that has been grown on campus, however, just the first legal cannabis.
Humans have been growing hemp for centuries. Hemp-based foods have taken off recently. So have lotions and soaps that use hemp oil. And there's evidence that different compounds in cannabis could be used as medicine. Kane says the plant holds tremendous potential.
It's one of those things that when you talk to people, it's hard to believe all the different uses because it really gets a little bit ridiculous, all the different things that people use it for.
Cain's latest project is to create a genetic map of cannabis. Unlike other major crops like corn and wheat, there's no published map for the plant. In fact, Cain says there are tons of unanswered questions about the basic science. How many varieties of hemp exist? Where does it grow best? What chemical compounds make it up? All those questions need to be answered before drug companies, manufacturers, and farmers can get a handle on hemp's benefits.
What formal research is there has been good, but there just isn't enough of it, right? Because there aren't that many people that have been able to get funding and permission to do this. Anywhere, really.
That permission is rare, because even though hemp has little to no psychoactive properties, under federal law, it's in the same class of illegal drugs as heroin and LSD. Despite that, Congress may be warming to the plant, and the list of potential uses for hemp is long. But what might be the plant's most magic property? It can actually get Democrats and Republicans to work together. Here's Colorado Representative Jared Polis.
We were able to pass an amendment to the Farm Bill showing that there were a majority of Democrats and Republicans that felt that this is an important crop.
The Farm Bill passed last year included a last-minute amendment giving the green light to researchers who want to work on hemp. But it hasn't been a free-for-all for scientists. The sparse legislation that Congress has passed is vague.
Higher education is a fairly regulated environment.
That's Patrick O'Rourke, the University of Colorado's lead attorney. He wants to make sure the research doesn't put the university's federal funding at risk.
The message that we've tried to say is we support your ability to do any type of research that you want to do, as long as you're going through the right steps to have it approved. And the researchers understand they don't want to be outside the boundaries of the law.
Despite the obstacles, the research is starting to take off. Colorado's two biggest universities, Colorado State and the University of Colorado, formed a joint partnership to share research on the plant. It's looking for funding now. And in the meantime, private companies are attempting to pick up the slack.
So this is the greenhouse warehouse.
John McKay is a plant geneticist at Colorado State University. His school will eventually start growing hemp, too.
I've spent more time with lawyers this year than I have all of my previous years.
So instead of waiting for all of the federal approval, he started his own business, working out of a small greenhouse he rents off campus. He says the conflicts in federal and state law just make everything move so slowly.
Nothing is completely spelled out in law, and then what little has been spelled out, then agencies and universities are trying to use to make plans, and by the time we make them, then maybe the laws change again.
While those laws keep changing, McKay says scientists, both public and private, will be doing whatever work they can to fill the research gap in hemp. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Up next, The Sweet Sound, where KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.